Hello everyone, this is Chuck Fry from the Mind Mapping Software blog. Welcome to the September 2011 Mind Mapping Coaching Call. Thanks to those of you who submitted questions, we've got some very good ones this month. Let's get started. Jeffrey asks, could you discuss the comparative capabilities of products to link to source information, such as databases, attachments, or other links to maps? Jeffrey, this is a really important issue in my mind. Thanks for bringing it up. Within the scope of this coaching call, I won't be able to take you through each program one by one, describing what each one offers in terms of linking and connecting to other information. And I can promise that I will make this the subject of a future Mind Mapping Insider report instead. But what I'm envisioning for that sort of a report is a table that enables you to see a side-by-side comparison. I think that would be most meaningful and would make the most sense to you. Instead, for the purpose of this podcast, let's just spend a few minutes talking about this issue at a more philosophical level. First, it's my opinion that all mind mapping software should enable you to attach documents and links to individual map topics at a very minimum. It's essential, and I believe that every mind mapping program already offers that today. But those programs that are more useful enable you to connect to other types of data in addition to that. For example, Mind Manager enables you to send the contents of an individual Outlook email to your mind map, and I believe several other programs are able to do that as well. More and more corporate knowledge resides within email messages, so I tend to think that this is a very important feature. Another example is linking to your company's SharePoint databases, if you use that Microsoft platform in your company. But more fundamentally, a growing need is to be able to attach multiple files or links to a single topic. Many programs only let you do one per topic, but a growing number of mind mapping programs are starting to support multiple items per topic, and I'm glad to see it. The alternative would be to create separate subtopics and attach one file or link to each one. That's a bit more time consuming and adds more visual clutter to your mind map. Another very useful linking feature is the ability to display the contents of a folder on your computer or your corporate network, and then to be able to refresh it so it's always current. This is especially useful if you store all of your work files in a single directory and want to quickly access them as part of a personal dashboard map. Another very useful capability is to be able to link a map to a map, or ideally in my mind, to be in the midst of creating a large map and discover it's becoming unwieldy, be able to select a particular topic and say, okay, break everything below this level off into a separate linked submap. Several of the programs do that, and I think that's extremely useful. It'll enables you to keep the amount of information you're looking at manageable in your main map, and yet if you want to drill down to the details, you can quickly do that just by clicking on the link at that stub topic, which then leads you down the next level to that submap that you just broke off. In addition, some high-end mind mapping programs enable you to embed a cell range of an Excel spreadsheet within your mind maps. If your job involves working with numerical data, such as budgets and forecasts, that could be really useful to you. What makes this important in my mind is it gives you a filtered view of a specific set of data within your mind map. You don't have to open up Excel and then wade through a lot of rows and columns to find just the data you need. You can literally create a live snapshot of the most important part of that spreadsheet and then display it within your mind map. And because it's an embedded object, it will be updated each time you open that mind map, which would be ideal for a personal management dashboard. Finally, several mind mapping programs enable you to record audio clips while working within the mind mapping program and automatically attach them to a topic. I'm not really sure how useful that is, but it's another example of the types of diverse objects and data that you can connect to your mind maps using today's software. Once again, please watch for a special report on this specific subject in the near future, because I do think it's worthy of analysis in greater detail to help you understand what you can do. And I thank you once again for this great question, Jeffrey. Seord asks, one of the latest products in the mind mapping world is Personal Brain. What they claim sounds good, but how does it work in practice? Can this product be reviewed and compared with other mind mapping software? Seord, I reviewed Personal Brain last year. Please take a look at the blog post where you access this podcast, the one that refers to this coaching call, to this podcast. And I've placed a link there that will take you to my review of this powerful program. Personal Brain is a very interesting tool. It seems to be most useful if you need to display complex relationships between topics, the type of thing that isn't normally supported in a conventional hierarchical mind map, except for relationship lines, which are fairly simple. Personal Brain actually goes to a much different level, enabling you to connect any topic to any other topic, regardless of its location, and to do some things that aren't possible in conventional mindset mapping software, such as one-to-many relationships. So, as a result, Personal Brain is highly valued by people to manage large sets of information, let's say a visual map containing several thousand topics and depicting all of the complex interrelationships between those topics. Personal Brain handles this sort of data better than a conventional mind map does, but the other side of the coin is it does have a bit of a learning curve, mainly because of some of the unique terminology and processes it provides to enable you to manage these large data sets. If you really want to learn more about what Personal Brain is capable of and how it can be used in typical business applications, I recommend you go to the source, to the developer. You may want to participate in one or more of the webinars that The Brain Technologies, which is the developer of Personal Brain, holds several times a month. I've sat in on several of them. They're very informative, and they do an excellent job of showcasing how people are using this powerful program. And I want to point out here that these are not commercials for Personal Brain if you listen in on these webinars. Instead, they talk about a typical application and the types of needs that a business user would have in trying to do these kinds of tasks, and then it explains how Personal Brain supports those tasks. Again, I think they do an excellent job with those, and I've placed a link within the blog post for this podcast to help you to get to that page within the Brain's website. And the page that I'm going to send you to gives you immediate access to the last five webinars, as well as access to an archive of older presentations, plus an upcoming events link that lists webinars that will be held in the near future. I also recommend you get on their email list, because then you'll automatically get notification of these upcoming webinars. I do, and that's how I've managed to participate in several of them, as I've come across topics that I think are really interesting. I've also included a link to the tutorial page for Personal Brain, which, again, even if you don't have the program yet, it covers the basics about how to complete common tasks. So you can look at those videos and see if Personal Brain is indeed a good fit with the kind of things that you need to get done. Marcelino asks, I need some help. For work reasons, I need an online mapping tool. The product that appears to meet my needs is WebBrain because it works in 3D and it's possible to do multiple connections between different items. But unfortunately, there is an aspect that's very important to me that Personal Brain has and WebBrain doesn't, the labels. In Personal Brain, you can attach labels to each item, but WebBrain doesn't seem to have this option. Do you know if there's another mind mapping application that enables you to add labels to items? Do you know of another mind map software that works like WebBrain in 3D? First of all, for the rest of you who are listening to this podcast, I just want to make sure we're clear on what the relationship is between Personal Brain and WebBrain. Personal Brain is the desktop visual mapping tool from The Brain Technologies. They launched WebBrain as kind of an online gallery where you can publish your brains that you've created in Personal Brain to an online space for sharing. Both public sharing as well as kind of your own personal repository or for sharing with small groups of people you've designated. But it's something more as well. It's actually a map creation and editing tool itself. So you can use it to create maps, but like any other desktop online combination, it doesn't quite have the full feature set that the desktop software does. Marcelino, you mentioned that WebBrain doesn't seem to support labels, but I tried it and I did get it to work. I took one of the mind maps that I created in Personal Brain 6, I selected a thought at random, and added a label to it. The next step I used that I did was to synchronize that map to my WebBrain account, and then finally I accessed that map within WebBrain, navigated to that specific thought where I added the label, and when I hovered over it with my mouse cursor, the label I had created did appear in WebBrain. So that does seem to work. Perhaps it didn't in an earlier version, but I think the Brain Technologies must have overcome that shortcoming, and it does now support it. In terms of mapping complex relationships, there is no other program like Personal Brain. Many mind mapping programs enable you to create relationship lines between topics like we talked about in an earlier question, but Personal Brain enables you to set up more complex interrelationships and a greater quantity of them fairly easily. You indicated that you needed a web-based mind mapping solution for work reasons. This means, I assume, that the company you work for may have a restrictive IT department that controls the desktop and must approve any software that would be installed on your computer. So if you need a web-based tool, regardless of the reason, the best web-based mind mapping application, in my opinion, is MindMeister. The developer has been very innovative over the years, and it really enables you to do quite a bit, and it's fairly easy to use. If it's really important to you that you be able to map complex relationships beyond the usual parent-child-sibling type things that a mind map does, I'd say that Personal Brain or WebBrain are your only real options. Here's a question from my last mind mapping software survey. One of the respondents says, I need help learning how to save and find files on my computer. I tend to lose documents too easily. I know mind mapping might be able to solve this for me, but I'm not sure which mind mapping tool is best for this feature through linking live to files. This is a common problem for many users of mind mapping software, and as the number of mind maps you create grows over time, they tend to get harder to find. It's the same with any other application. You got a folder full of 50 mind maps instead of 10. It takes more time to figure out which is the right one that you want to open. There's two schools of thought here in terms of file management. The first is to store all of your mind maps in a single directory or folder. Usually when you install your mind mapping software, it creates a default folder where it stores all of your maps, unless you change that. In Mind Manager, which I use fairly often, this folder is within the hierarchy for the current Windows user. And I've adjusted these settings in the program's preferences so that it saves all of my mind maps into a folder within my main Dropbox folder. Dropbox, if you're not familiar with it, is an inexpensive online storage and backup service. Anything I store within that folder is automatically synced to other computers on this account. I use this to keep my files up to date across three PCs between my work and home, and I find it works really well. Anyway, I've tweaked Mind Manager settings so that all of my maps get saved to a folder within my Dropbox folder. That way they're always backed up and synchronized to my PC and work, my home desktop computer, and my laptop. So, in summary, store all of your maps in one folder. That's one approach. The other approach, which I've actually been doing more often lately, is to store your mind maps in individual project folders. This places them within the relevant context of a project and makes them easier to find if you're working on that project and you want to get out all the resources that you've created as part of it. But the downside is that it makes it harder to find the specific mind map you want, especially if you can't remember which folder it's in. So, to answer this question, to see how mind mapping software might support this other approach, I played around a bit to see how I could solve it using Mind Manager 9. And Mind Manager offers several types of smart map parts. These are applications within Mind Manager that enable you to do some neat things, such as search Google and display the search results as a set of branches within your mind map. One other type of smart map part enables you to visualize your files and or folders. So I did a bit of experimenting. I added a smart map part for my Dropbox folder and all of its subfolders and files into a Mind Manager map. This immediately displayed a hierarchy of several thousand files. The name of each file is displayed along with its file extension and a shortcut or link to it. And if you've already created the smart map part and you just want to update the list of files it displays, you right-click at the root level topic of the smart map part and select the refresh command, or you can simply use the F5 key on your keyboard. Next, I set up a filter in Mind Manager to filter on the text string .mmap. That's the file extension of Mind Manager files. Immediately, all of the other files in this huge mind map disappeared from view, and it left only my Mind Manager maps in view. I've got to tell you, other than briefly exploring Mind Manager's filter tool while doing a product review, I've never really needed to use it when working on a production mind map. This worked really slick. It was amazing to see how quickly it isolated all of my Mind Manager maps, regardless of which folder they resided in. What makes it especially valuable is I can store this search within the map that I had open, and I can use it at any time to find my files quickly. It's almost like you're creating a new navigation layer on top of the usual Windows folder structure. And this new navigation layer in visual form aggregates files and links to them based upon your filter criteria. This is very powerful, and I think it can be a big productivity booster for me as well as for you. I can already envision how I'm going to use this at work. I work for a small company, and like most firms, we have a shared directory on our network that contains a lot of project files. And over a number of years, it has become almost impossible to locate a specific file in this thicket of folders and subfolders, especially if the people who created these files or assets can't remember what folder that they're in. I've found that in Windows 7, which I use on a laptop, if I do a text string search in Windows Explorer, it can churn away for up to 5 minutes just trying to find the veritable needle in a haystack. Some days I get really frustrated with that. Other days, I just let the search churn away, and I turn my attention to another task for the next 5 minutes or so, and then check back to see what it found. I'm actually going to try and use this smart map part at work to map these network directories within Mind Manager, and then use the F5 key, as we talked about, to keep it up to date. And then when I need to find a specific file, I can then just do a search or filter on the mind map, which is my visual representation of the network, rather than on the shared drive itself. And I think this approach is going to be much faster. Perhaps you could benefit in a similar way in your company. Johan asks, when I make my mind maps, I tend to fall into the trap of having branches that are very long, sometimes entire sentences. I often feel if I don't do that my notes don't capture all that I want. So then I force myself to pick single keywords and my mind map suddenly becomes very large and hard to overview instead. Are there any good tricks to picking keywords or simply handle complex information in mind maps that you can share? Johan, this is a great question. To answer it, I need to go back to a little bit of the history of mind mapping. It's been strongly influenced by Tony Buzan, who's credited with inventing the technique of mind mapping on paper, and he created a set of widely held and accepted rules for mind mapping. One of those is that each topic can only contain a single word, and he created this rule because mind mapping works largely the way your brain does, by association. He found that by restricting each topic to a single word, this helps to ensure that your brain can continue to generate an ongoing list of word associations. And if you're trying to do something creative in a visual map, this is actually a great way to go. Phrases or entire sentences, on the other hand, located within a single topic, tend to kill this associative process. It's hard for your brain to make the next leap and to come up with words and concepts that branch out from a sentence or a longer phrase as opposed to just a single word. But for business use of mind mapping software, my philosophy is that you don't need to be that restrictive. If you need to, you can feel free to name your topics using two or three words, or maybe a few more if you need to. Sometimes that's unavoidable, especially if one word by itself would be too ambiguous. And you did indicate in your question that you do intend to share these maps. So ambiguity is a real problem there. So you have to have a topic that is descriptive enough that people can follow what it is you're trying to say and understand the meaning of that. The other issue with putting a whole sentence on a topic doesn't really have anything to do with Tony Buzan's mind mapping rules, but it becomes more of a visual clutter problem. It just makes your mind maps look really, really busy. I recommend a middle ground where you use single words for topics whenever possible, but use multiple words as you need to. If you have something longer like a sentence, I recommend that you distill it down into its essence by asking questions like these. What is the key concept of this sentence? Or what are the key words and concepts it contains? These questions will help you to strip away all of the extraneous words and boil it down to its essence. And that's what you should record in the topic of your mind map rather than the full sentence. If you still want to capture the exact wording of that longer sentence-sized thought, create a topic note and store it there. That way it's out of view, but it can still be accessed in a single click of your mouse. I hope this helps, Johan. That's it for the September Mind Mapping Coaching Call. Thanks again for sending me such excellent questions. There's some real thought-provoking stuff here, and it really helps me to understand where your thinking is at and what the needs are that you have. And I can not only answer your questions in these coaching calls, but it also gives me a basis to know what I need to be covering in special reports in the future. Remember, you can submit your questions to me at any time at chuck@innovationtools.com. Also via the feedback form on the blog, and finally via my Twitter account, which is simply Chuck Frey, C-H-U-C-K-F-R-E-Y, no spaces. I look forward to talking to you next month. Once again, this has been Chuck Frey from the Mind Mapping Software blog, signing off. See you on the blog.